You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's a Tuesday morning. It's a specifically pancake Tuesday morning. It's the 13th of February. And I did say to Lee just before we came on air that I would not be eating pancakes today because I was going to be a good boy. And then Martin Anderson dropped pancakes up to Highland Radio. I am not a good boy. Absolutely lovely, I have to say. Pancake and a cup of coffee now over the news. And that was just what the doctor ordered. And just to let you know, by the way, that Martin Anderson, proprietor of Sonder Cafe on Pierce Road in Letterkenny, is giving away traditional vegan and gluten-free pancakes on today from 9:30 until 3:30 in lieu of donations to Jigsaw Donegal. Now, Jigsaw are located down the road, I mean, literally about four doors down from Martin, the Jigsaw premises on Pierce Road, and they offer a fantastic service helping young people with their mental health. And Jigsaw do a fantastic service, and Martin Anderson makes damn good pancakes, I have to say. So if you fancy a traditional vegan or gluten-free pancake, you can get one in Sonder and make a donation in support of the work of Jigsaw. A message came in while I was talking to John about the county development plan, just wondering, what about the submission from the redress focus groups to the county plan regarding there being no mention of defective blocks anywhere in the draft plan and their proposals for a temporary accommodation for those displaced due to their defective concrete homes? We will certainly put that query to Donegal County Council. Yeah, just a message from Radio Centre Ireland, and we mentioned this at the top of the programme today, is World Radio Day, celebrating radio as the medium that's closest to people's hearts and minds, providing news, entertainment and education in all corners of the globe. Studies have repeatedly shown that radio is the medium that people trust most, rating radio as a trusted medium significantly more than television, the internet, social networks or newspapers. What a great time it is to be celebrating World Radio Day in Ireland, when last week's JNLR figures revealed a record high of 3.4 million people in Ireland tuning into radio every single weekday. More people are listening to radio than ever before. Friday, February the 13th was proclaimed as World Radio Day by UNESCO in 2012 and endorsed by the UN General Assembly as a UN International Day, and the day recognises radio's remarkable past, relevant present and exciting and dynamic future. So happy thanks to you, listeners, for making such a huge numbers and listening in them. It means a lot, and a very happy Radio Day 2024. I can't really add much to that, can we? Parking at Kilmacrenan National School. There are Kilmacrenan National School double yellow lines outside there. Any parking at the school is used by staff. There is no word of any ramps or crossing assistance. The speed of the cars is terrible. The double yellow lines were only put in yesterday. What are parents to do? That's an interesting one. It's certainly a question that we will be asking. Caller says, not sure if you want to highlight this, but €2 for one fried egg, that's madness. €5.30 for a plate, a handful of chips, that's absolute madness prices. It certainly seems to me that if you're asked to pay €2 for a fried egg and €5.30 for a handful of chips, I would be going elsewhere. I don't know where the premises is, I don't know what the context is, but I certainly tell you I would not be in any way inclined to pay prices like that. And it certainly seems to be a heavy price. There are several premises out there, and as they say, you go where you feel most comfortable with the prices, the ambience and everything else. The taxpayers in Donegal and North Mayo and Leitrim must be overjoyed at the opening of the new Dunkettle interchange with its 7 bridge structures, 4 roundabouts, etc., and infrastructure for pedestrians and cyclists just in time for the general election. The Dunkettle interchange, Cork, unless I'm very much mistaken. I think the Dunkettle interchange is in Cork. It is. And we'll leave that one. We're told to expect delays on the main road just on the Newton side of Manor Cunningham past the picnic area. There's been a collision there. I'm not sure when that was. Caller says, I am so angry this morning. I've been fighting to get respite care for my son. We missed the last 3 because none were available. As a family, I kept thinking it was okay as we were banking them and we'd get them later in the year, only to discover that in late January there was no banking. We missed them and that's it. Now this morning I discover they are offering children in Cork our respite hours. How is this even fair? And I heard that story on the news. I was driving up and Michaela was reading the news, and I heard Michaela read that story on the news this morning, and I have to confess, that was the first thing that struck me was, what? Because we have done so many stories on the show, on the news, about the lack of respite places right across the board. There are local authority members in this county who I'm sure are sick to death of us asking them questions about the availability of respite in the area and calling for respite centres to be closed. And particularly in the aftermath of COVID, where a number of services were scaled down, understandably, over COVID, but somehow have never just quite materialised back again because of staffing pressures or whatever. And to find, and I must confess, I did an absolute double take when I heard that story myself this morning, that people in Cork were being told, well, you can go to Donegal and get respite up there. And my first thought was, and I don't like being parochial, but my first thought was, hang on a minute, I thought we were having pressure just getting respite for the people who need it here. Not to mention, you know, I don't know. I really do not know the ins and outs of that one at all. It makes very little sense. Now, it's a Tuesday, which means we have our Community Garda information slot, and Garda Niall Maguire is going to be joining us in studio very shortly.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
This is the Community Garda information slot on Highland Radio. Delighted to say we're joined in studio this morning by Garda Niall Maguire from Milford Garda Station. Niall, good morning.
Morning, Donald.
Good to see you, Niall. A number of items to look at on the programme this morning. And we're going to start with something you don't get very often, and that's a very, very heavy stone crusher taken from the vicinity of Castle Finn.
Yeah, this was taken from right on the border with Tyrone. Fairn Castle Finn. It's a blue Pegson stone crusher, and it weighs about 42 tonnes. It's, like I say, it's blue in colour. It's kind of like, for anybody that doesn't know what a stone crusher is, it's used in a quarry for basically breaking down rocks and stuff into multi-size different types of grades of stone. Very substantial machine. It's on tracks, kind of like a digger track. Now, unfortunately, this wasn't discovered until very recently, and was last seen in September. It was in a very isolated rural area, and the owner had it put away there for various reasons. And when he went to check on it there recently, it was gone. So it's an unusual one, but it's again, the proximity of the border would be very concerning there. It would take quite a big lorry and low loader to take this, and somebody with experience to load this thing and take it away. But we're looking into CCTV that's available to us, but it's a very specialised bit of equipment. So the way this will be solved, Donald, will be somebody in the business that has noticed one that wasn't there before. So if somebody has seen someone that has a blue Pegson 42 stone crusher, now they may have bought it from somebody else innocently. So, you know, any time from September last year to now, well, then maybe you could contact my colleagues in Letterkenny here investigating on 074 9167 100, or indeed the Garda Confidential line 1-800-666-111. And I spoke to Grainne this morning, and Grainne Doherty in Letterkenny, and she's going to put a picture of it up on the Garda Facebook page.
Now, the usual line in cases like this is if you've been offered something like this for sale in suspicious circumstances, but the reality is very few people are going to be offered this for sale. I mean, the only people that would have used for this would be people with very specific needs in terms of quarrying, etc. So it shouldn't be, well, one would have thought it would be, as I say, very obvious if one just appears somewhere. But it is, it's certainly an interesting one and a very specific piece of equipment. We'll obviously put that picture up on our own socials as well as soon as Grainne gets up.
There is obviously quite a popular type of crusher, so there will be other ones about. So, you know, we're not going to be pointing the finger at anybody.
Of course,
The particular one would have unique markings on it, and, you know, a lot of them have specific damage on it, so the owner would be able to identify it immediately if he saw it, you know. And we'll be liaising with the owner and to identify any ones that maybe some of the listeners might call in for us, you know.
Another theft, and this is the theft of a vehicle in the vicinity of Bridgend.
Yeah, this vehicle wasn't able to be driven, so it had to be towed away, either towed or put on a trailer. So it was taken from the Ela Business Park in Bridgend between Wednesday the 31st of January and Monday the 5th of January. It's a black Volkswagen Passat, and the partial registration number is FYT 10X, FY10X, a black Volkswagen Passat stolen from Ila Business Park in Bridgend. So anybody that may be able to help my colleagues in Buncrana, please contact them on 074-9320540.
Theft of a boat this time from Donegal Town.
Yeah, this was only reported, I think, yesterday. Drumkeena, Donegal Town, between 9 a.m. on Monday the 5th and midnight on Saturday the 10th of February, a small white boat in colour with the inscription Angel Betty along the side. It had a Mercury engine and it was on a little boat trailer. I don't have any better description than that, Donal, unfortunately. Again, Grainne said that she's contacted the investigating guard and we're trying to get a photograph of that on our Facebook page, and my colleagues in Ballyshannon are investigating that, and they can be contacted on 071 985 8530.
And I suppose really when we're looking at this one, there will be a lot of stuff on trailers in houses, be they boats, be they even caravans, other equipment, and you know that sort of thing can be susceptible to theft, and we don't necessarily take all the security precautions we should be with things that are in our driveways.
Yeah, a boat and a trailer and an engine is a high value item, and you know we are a coastal community here in Donegal, and every year we have boats and trailers stolen, and unfortunately it's the ones that are stolen are the ones that are easy stolen, Donal. They're unsecured. They're not maybe locked away with maybe a camera or a light or a gate or something in front of it. It's just somebody pulling up and hooking it on. And it sometimes can be just a chance crime that somebody's just like a creeper burglary type thing, Donal.
There's going to be more advice on specific boat security that's going to be posted, as you say, on the page a bit later on today as well. Just
yeah.
So people who do have boats, I mean, and I'm sure there are specific measures people can be taking. So a lot of that's going to be put up on the Gather Síochána and Donegal Facebook page later today.
Yeah, because again, boats are the kind of thing that, you know, some people store near the coast and then maybe overwinter them then in their own maybe a house or shed or driveway or whatever. So yeah, there will be a specific advice on the Donegal Garda Síochána Facebook page, and encourage anybody just to subscribe to that page, Donal.
Yeah. To Inishowen now, and a number of incidents of a very similar nature that occurred on Friday last.
Yeah, there's a gang of young fellas that in the wee hours of the morning, Donal, are going around and harassing people by throwing things at their houses. In this situation, they were throwing eggs. Now, they may think this is funny or it's not frightening to people that are living in houses, but I can assure you, Donal, if you're in your bed at 2 in the morning and yeah. you hear a bang in the window, you don't know what it is, and it can be very frightening, and it can be very disturbing for an elderly person. But the details are as follows, Donal. The first one occurred at just before 1 a.m. on Friday the 9th of February at Tulnaree, area of Carndonagh. Objects were thrown at the bedroom window, and three male youths were captured on CCTV, and they were aged between 15 and 18. And we have that CCTV and we're examining it, Donal, and comparing it to other CCTV. It transpired in the morning that eggs had been thrown at the windows and walls of the property. And then later on in the morning at 1:50 a.m. at Donna Park, Carndonagh, a number of male youths were observed beside a car parked in the driveway. They left when they were observed, and the resident then discovered eggs and other food stuff on the doorstep and on his car. And then further to that, at Drimdhu, Foden, Carndonagh, a resident heard a bang at her downstairs bedroom window, and again, eggs have been thrown at the house. So I'm appealing, first of all, to these young people to catch themselves on, and also if anybody wants to give us the names of these young people, they are welcome to call in to Buncrana Garda Station or make contact on telephone 074 9320540. So we are particularly interested in any sightings or dash cam footage of a blue, silver or silver Jeep in the area. So that's what we suspect these young ones are driving around in. So yeah, again, catch yourselves on, and if we do happen to come across you, you know, you have been warned.
I can put some context on this, because we had a call to the show yesterday, and I was doing the show yesterday, and a lady called to tell us that her mother, at the weekend, and I'm presuming it's the same incident, we didn't give a location, but that her mother at the weekend was in her home alone in the early hours of the morning, and eggs were thrown at the house. And her mother got such a shock and was so scared afterwards that another member of the family has had to stay in the house with her because of the state of agitation she was in since then. And now she actually saw some people outside, again, vaguely fitting the description in this one, but reckoned that some of them were even younger than 15. And there was a couple of young people outside throwing eggs at the house. Some of them, at least, were, she believed, younger than 15. So, I mean, I'm presuming it's the same incident. But, I mean, as I say, that's a lady. OK, eggs were thrown at the house. As you say, people, they think, wasn't that a great joke? Ha ha, let's run away. But since then, since that happened, there's been a lady, an elderly lady, who's had to have family members in the house with her because she's scared.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good point you're making there. You know, I'm in here along with my colleagues every Tuesday banging the drum about burglaries and criminal damage and maybe arson attacks in houses. You know, you can't differentiate between an egg banging against a window or somebody breaking into your house or maybe pouring petrol into your door. You know, so this causes there's a lot of victims, and it can be very serious for somebody. And I just, again, these young people need to stop that.
Let's go to Dunloe and the Cushlocker Community Centre there.
Yeah, it was broken into between 6 p.m. on Tuesday the 6th of February and 9:30 in the morning on Monday the 12th of February. Damage was caused to the lock on the front door of the centre and also to the key safe box. So somebody obviously broke in and were trying to get the internal keys and keys to different things within the centre. If anybody observed anything suspicious in the activity in the area of the centre in the Cushlocker Community Centre in Dunloe, my colleagues in Milford are investigating, and their number is 074-915-3060.
We don't very often get Aaron Moore Island mentioned on the slot, but we do have a mention this morning.
Yeah, at Scrag on Aaron Moore Island between Tuesday the 6th of February at 9 p.m. and then lunchtime on Wednesday the 7th of February, it was discovered that a Tesla car was parked at a house in a driveway and was badly damaged between those hours. So if anybody is able to help us in relation to identifying what happened there, it's an unusual car for Aaron Moore. You wouldn't see many Teslas in Aaron Moore, I wouldn't think. But again, the garage in Milford are looking after at 074-915-3060.
And a Tesla is nothing like an inexpensive car either. I mean, a Tesla is one of the most expensive cars
There's,
on the market at the moment.
Substantial damage run into the thousands on that car, Donal.
Yeah. One of the things that's often highlighted on the slot is the marking of property and the importance of having, and this maybe goes back to what we were saying about boats and trailers and that as well, and there will be a property marking function taking place in the show later this month.
That's correct, Donal. On Saturday the 24th of February between 11 and 2 in the public car park at Buncrana Garda Station, my colleagues will be there to assist in permanently marking trailers, tools, etc. with your air code. The machine that we can be used on all different types of surfaces, including metal, carbon fibre, wood, plastic and even glass. It uses a pattern of dots to mark the property, making it highly distinguishable and easy to return to the owner or the guards, rendering it's unattractive to thieves. So you don't need any appointment. Just turn up at Buncrana Garda Station car park between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturday the 24th of February. We'll be delighted to mark your property for you.
And as you said, I mean, you know, things can be painted, things can be disguised, things can be altered, things can be taken away or added to, but that air code stamp is going to stay there, whatever happens.
Yeah, they're covertly and overtly marked. You know, we have a system in place so that if whenever property is recovered by ourselves, we have certain places that we tend to look for possible markings that we've previously done.
A number of members of the force from the Donegal Division managed to avoid a freezing dip over Christmas week because of weather. But they didn't avoid it completely. It was merely a postponement, and it's coming round again. The polar plunge takes place this coming weekend.
Well, let me tell you, Donal, a lot of us were freezing over the winter all right now because it was pretty cold there, and we're doing a lot of checkpoints this year. But none of us jumped in the sea, thank God. But the Polar Plunge, as you said, is on February the 17th in Rathmullen in aid of Space Olympics Ireland. Some of my colleagues and others from other agencies will be there at 2 o'clock, and we're hoping for a bit of support. There's a few other activities that will take place at that day, commencing at midday, some of the activities. So wrap up and come out and support people that are raising money for Special Olympics Ireland.
An important one indeed. Something I know Gráinne is very heavily involved in, and that's the annual Garda Youth Awards.
Yeah, this is definitely one of Gráinne's babies. This is aged for people aged between 13 and 21 years throughout the county. Gráinne is looking for people to be nominated. Young people that have made a difference in their community during 2023. We've always had a very successful nomination process in Donegal and been very successful on the national stage when it comes to these Donegal or these youth awards. All nominees will receive recognition in an event in the future, and we have a date to be decided on that. Winners and nominees will be notified of the details by the organising committee. There are four separate categories. There's an individual award, a group award, a special achievement award and a community safety award. Forms, nomination forms are available at the district headquarters, which are Letterkenny, Milford, Buncrana or Ballyshannon, or indeed you can get it on the Garda Facebook page or by emailing Donegal Garda Youth Awards at garda.ie, or indeed the council have it on their website as well, and you can post them in if you want or return it by email, Mark, for the attention of Garda Gráinne Doherty and Letterkenny Garda Station before Thursday, March the 7th.
Niall, thank you very much indeed. A busy one this morning and some interesting food for thought there. Of course, we'll put the whole of the slot back up on our website, highlandradio.com. It'll be up on the Garda Síochána Facebook page as well. And it'll be, of course, the whole show is podcast and rebroadcast on Facebook and on YouTube, so people can go back and listen to all the bits we've discussed. In the meantime, Niall, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The Community Garda Information Slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
And welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It is a Tuesday morning and we're with you until 12 noon. 086-6025000 for your messages on text or WhatsApp. Call us 074-91-25000. Caroline producing and taking your calls. Shannon taking your calls outside as well. Now, a mental health and wellbeing conference is due to take place at the ATU campus in Letterkenny on Friday, 23rd of February. That's Friday week. It's taking place from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. on that day. The conference is to discuss research findings in relation to mental health and wellbeing following a study that took place. And I am delighted to say that I'm joined in studio by Dr. Louise McBride, who is Head of Department of Nursing and Healthcare at the ATU, also President of the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Ireland, and Dr. Margaret McClafferty, a Research Assistant. Louise, Margaret, you are both very welcome to the programme this morning. Louise, I want to go to yourself first. As head of department, it's important from your point of view that ATU is seen to be hosting conferences like this, and it's important too that this sort of research is being done.
So good morning, Donal, and thank you for having myself and Margaret here this morning. So absolutely, conferences like this are so important, and the theme of college students' mental health and well-being, as we well know, is very contemporary, not just since the pandemic, but from an academic point of view, in the higher education, in secondary, and even indeed at primary level. So mental health and well-being is of everybody's interest. And for listeners, even as a parent or somebody who has mental health, or indeed somebody who is working in that area, it's very, very important.
Margaret, from the point of view of someone who was involved in the research, there was an emphasis in particular on students living with ADHD, but it was looking at mental health right across the student body. I know the research results per se are going to be released on the day, and you don't want to preempt that too much, but can you give us a broad park indication of sort of some of your findings?
Yes, of course. So I suppose, while our recent research has focused on students with living with ADHD, we've actually been working with Ulster University, as an ATU and Ulster University, have been working together on a number of projects going right back actually to 2015. So we've been conducting research in the general student population. So I can give you some results from that in particular, I suppose, to start with. So in the student psychological intervention trial, we find that about a fifth of students are coming into university with either depression or anxiety or both, and really, really high rates of suicidal behaviour. Now, we had initially thought, yes, these rates are going to be high, but they were a lot higher than we had ever really anticipated. Like 20% of students starting college are saying that they've engaged in self-harm, and between 7 and 8% in the general student population have said that they've attempted suicide prior to starting university. People tend to think a lot of mental health problems start in the university setting, but we're actually finding that the age of onset is between 15 or 16. So one of our studies from the Student Psychological Intervention Trial was a paper focusing on students living with ADHD, and that paper found that, you know, that the rates were much, much higher, which was why we then applied for funding to conduct research with students living with ADHD. And without giving too much away, the rates are really shocking, like roughly around three times more likely than within the general student population. Now, when we say students, we talk about students living with ADHD because one of the first things that we did was set up a student advisory group. And initially, I suppose we had thought, you know, of engaging with people that had maybe a formal diagnosis. But one of the first things the student says was, look, please include people without a formal diagnosis because they're all waiting for so long on getting that. Yeah. So we did engage with anybody that was screening for probable ADHD.
The inevitable question is going to be, has COVID had an impact on this? Because it was 4 years ago next month that the first lockdown came into being. Now, a student who is 19, 20 now was 15, 16 when COVID started. Yeah. And I can't help wonder, given that, you know, that was going to take such a lot out of their lives. They were missing out on socialisation. They were missing out on school. They were missing out on so much over the course of the lockdowns, on, off, on, off, on, off. And, you know, I've often said it, you know, for people like myself, late 50s, married, stable, at home, it wasn't, I couldn't say COVID was hard on me at all. But for young people, 15, 16, 17, 18, what they lost was immense and immeasurable. And I can't help wonder, are these high rates we're seeing now, at least in part, the legacy of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely. I mean, we haven't conducted any studies this current year, but the ADHD study was after COVID. And definitely, yes, I think that played a huge role. What I would say is that the Student Psychological Intervention Trial that I mentioned earlier, we'd actually collected our baseline data in 2019 prior to the pandemic, and we followed that cohort of students right across their time at university. So we looked at them again in year two and year three and in their final year, and depression went up immensely, whereas actually anxiety came down initially, but then it flipped back up as they went back into the university setting. I think a lot of that was to do with social anxiety. That wasn't because they weren't in the college setting. But, I mean, definitely, I mean, if you look at this year's cohort of students that are doing the Leaving Cert and the same last year, they haven't done a state exam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they're suddenly in the university setting and, they're not used to doing exams, you know, in-person exams anymore. So there's lots and lots of pressures on young people.
And I'm sure too there are some who are going into college now, they're meeting new people and maybe they haven't developed the skills to actually interact with people because they've lost on so much. I mean, when I was in fifth year, when I was in sixth year, I was going to a local youth club every Friday night. I was out with my friends. I was meeting people regularly. I was out and about. A lot of people now haven't been and haven't been having those social interactions. So in a sense, they're, you know, for some people, their lives would have almost, I won't say stopped, but their lives would have changed irrevocably when they were sort of 15, 16. And now they're being thrown into this college setting where suddenly they're in this big, huge building, possibly in a strange town, where there's thousands of people they don't know. And they haven't necessarily actually built up the skills to deal with that on a day-to-day level. Coming back to your yourself, Louise, in terms of the challenge now to ATU and to every campus of ATU from Galway right up to Letterkenny, there is a challenge, I'm sure, on you now to actually look at the findings of the research. Okay, so it's research, it's important, it's found, it's going to be presented, it's going to be collated and presented in a digestible form. The next challenge that's coming on you and your fellow heads of department and indeed right up to the ATU president is to implement measures and strategies and plans within the ATU campus to deal with these issues.
Absolutely, Donal. And as we know, in December 2023, Minister Harris actually awarded $5 million in this space of mental health and support for students at college. So this actually highlights the importance of research like this, the research that we've collaborated previously with the University of Ulster, and indeed this dissemination that we're doing, because we really need to have evidence-based packages, evidence-based practices that we know work. And the voice of the student is so important. And that's why this research is really at the heart of what works for the student with ADHD. How can we enhance their mental health and well-being? So this research, whilst, you know, is very significant in an ADHD sphere, it also highlights that it can actually be very supportive and applied to other vulnerable groups. And as we know, students coming to us at third level have a lot of challenges, and you've outlined them post-pandemic. We don't deny that the pandemic has had an impact on it, but it's so important that we now focus that funding that Minister Harris has given us. And 431,000 was actually awarded to ATU, and that's the highest in the country. So with the President and our VPs and as faculties, we must make sure that we invest that money wisely in evidence-based practices and programmes that the students will really benefit from.
And obviously this research is going to have a huge impact in terms of informing that decision-making process.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would like to highlight that the conference is very much about, you know, when we opened up the invitation with regards to, we had, you know, an immediate response. So there's a huge interest in this space from stakeholders, but we really want to draw on, obviously, the public, those living with ADHD, living with mental health, those working, and particularly in the whole area of further education, higher education, and as we've outlined, not just primary and secondary levels. So we have a huge, you know, interest in the area, and we're delighted to share our findings.
And as well as having the presentations from the academics and from the research from Margaret and others in term at that conference, will there be students presenting as well? Will the voice of the student be heard directly on the day?
Absolutely. We have some of our students who are actually part of the research, and we have recordings. Obviously, some of the students have now moved on and they're working in their own relevant disciplines, but we felt that was so important. And so we have a comprehensive presentation that we've pre-recorded for the conference. And it's just important to note, Donal, also, we have a huge lineup of very expert advocates and champions in this space. We've Professor Siobhan O'Neill, we have Dr. Ross Woods from the HEA, who's an expert in this area in health and well-being. We've also John Meehan, who's a Donegal man at heart, Director of Mental Health Planning from the National Office of Suicide Prevention, and Professor Gary Donoghue, who's a clinical psychologist and also very much an expert and researching in this area. So we've a huge lineup, and we're really excited about the conference at ATU Donegal.
Dr. Louise McBride, who's Head of Department of Nursing and Healthcare at ATU and President of the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Ireland. Onboard alternate used to be easier, you know. The NMBI, we'll just say NMBI, I think, from now on.
NMBI, yeah. NMBI, well, yeah. I think those colloquially referred to NIMBY, but I much prefer onboard alternate. But as we know, we had to rebrand it to take on board our midwives.
The midwifery, yes, yeah, I know, right. Indeed, yeah. I have a personal interest in nursing.
Well, that could be a whole other show,
I'd say. Putting this, I've been married to one for 33 years. So
well, in very good company,
oh,
then.
Absolutely. Oh, you believe you me, I'm an expert on board alternation, NMBI and all the acronyms. I know them all from the years. And Dr. Mark McLaffery, of course, who is the research assistant that's been involved. Thank you to both of you for coming and speaking to us about this conference. It's taking place at the Letterkenny campus of ATU on Friday week. That's the 23rd of February from 9 until 2. And we look forward with interest to examining those findings in more detail. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's 11 minutes to 11 o'clock. Time for a short break. Back after these. We're going to be talking about construction in just a moment and the call to Irish construction workers living abroad to come back. We're going to do that in just a moment. Before we do that, let's give you another blast of our Holyrood Hotel quiz that's running on the show all this week. And for all the details, let's go over to Canis.
This week, we have a fantastic end-of-week prize courtesy of the Holyrood Hotel for one lucky winner, which includes one night bed and breakfast for two people at the Holyrood Hotel Bondoran with champagne and chocolates on arrival, followed by a spa treatment each in the Holyrood's luxurious spa at Orchids. Finish off your evening with a four-course dinner and a bottle of wine in their watermelon restaurant, plus full use of the Blue River Leisure Centre swimming pool and Canadian hot tub. Your spa experience includes a private session in the outdoor hot tub and sauna, and a 60-minute spa treatment, each inspired to give you a captivating night's sleep. Beginning with a serene back massage, followed by a beautifully soothing scalp and arm massage. To be in with a chance of winning this fantastic prize on Friday, simply answer this question. What city is often called the City of Love and is home to iconic sites such as the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame Cathedral? Text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25000.
Irish construction workers living abroad are being encouraged to come back home to help address the housing crisis under a new government plan. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris has been given €750,000 to launch a campaign aimed at increasing the number of men and women working in the construction sector. Now, we're joined on Zoom this morning by Justin Malloy, who's the director of the Western Midlands and Northern Region Construction Industry Federation. And if people are going to build all these houses that are being called for, it's going to be largely Justin's members who are doing it. Justin, we're told at the moment that there isn't capacity in the construction sector in this country to meet the demand that exists for new builds. Is this initiative by Simon Harris and the government going to work?
Well, I suppose I challenge that. I think the industry has always responded, Donald, to demand for to build. We will build. If the houses are needed to be built, they'll be built. If the civil needs to be built, they'll be built. Obviously, we do need more people in construction. We would encourage more people into construction industry. And we would obviously encourage people to come back from abroad. I mean, Simon Harris's initiative here is it's kind of just one of 20 actions comes from the Careers in Construction report to encourage people to come back from overseas.
As someone involved with the CIF in this region, you'll be well aware of the defective blocks crisis that exists, obviously, in Donegal, but also areas like Sligo, Mayo, and also down toward parts of Galway, Limerick and Clare as well. That's going to create an extra dimension to this, because we have houses slated for demolition and rebuilding in Donegal over and above the social housing need and the need for housing in the general market. That does create an extra challenge in this particular region.
Donal, it definitely does. Obviously, just more people will be required to build these houses. And I think we also have to probably embrace a bit more modern methods of construction or off-site construction, whereby we use alternative methods of construction, such as timber frame, YK steel, precast concrete, etc., which are done in factories and brought out onto site. And I think there's definitely, you know, the industry is transitioning into off-site construction. There's more and more of it happening, but we need to facilitate MMC, or what we call MMC, modern methods of construction, in this country. We need more testing facilities in this country for materials and processes. We need quicker certification of materials and processes to ensure that they're fit for purpose. But that will be part and parcel of the solution as well, I would suggest.
Is there enough flexibility at government level, and is there enough room to manoeuvre in Irish planning and building regulations? Now, obviously, when we discuss planning and building regulations, and no one more than the people of Donegal knows that you've got to follow building regulations to the absolute letter. But is there enough flexibility and, as it were, authority built into them to ensure that we can bring in these models in a timely fashion, but also in a way that ensures that houses are safe, houses are durable, and we aren't going to have the sort of problems that we've seen in Donegal and elsewhere over the past 10 years?
Well, I suppose this is what we'd be calling for, is that a lot of the MMC or modern methods of construction manufacturers in this country are probably exporting a significant amount of the product they're building overseas, which we could badly use in this country. But they need a pipeline of work. They need a continuity of work. So if they're to set up their factory, they have to know that they have a continuous pipeline of work for X number of years. And standard design, standard materials, etc., etc. Now, the NSAI, National Standards Authority of Ireland, do certification for MMC, Modern Methods of Construction, and we'd say, look, just that these would, whatever resources are necessary, would be put into the likes of the NSAI and other organisations that would be testing the facilities in the south. So a lot of materials, say, for MMC have to go to either Northern Ireland or over to the UK to be tested. So we suggest that there should be, you know, state-run testing facilities in this country. When you talk about planning is probably the biggest problem we have, I'd say, at the moment, from talking to a lot of our members. The planning process can be so arduous and so long, and is very, very costly. And it's a deterrent, unfortunately, sometimes, to the building of houses.
We know on board Planola is about to be overhauled and renamed in the coming months. Do you believe that that's going to be accompanied by sufficient change that will allow the level of flexibility that will speed up the construction process, while at the same time, and this is very important, obviously, not diluting the right of people to make valid objections or to make valid observations about a planning application or about a proposed development in an area?
Yeah, well, the more resources that are put into Bord Pleanála, obviously the better, because there had been delays, significant delays, for over a year and even longer, some instances 2 years, trying to get decisions from Bord Pleanála. And that is always costly and timely. And unfortunately, it's the end user, it's the person who ends up buying the house, has to absorb all these costs. So if it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, in some cases 5 and 6 years to get a project to construction stage, somebody has to pay for all of those, and unfortunately, it's the end user. As regards making objections, we have no problem people obviously making objections. Everyone's entitled to make their observations and their objections. But what we'd want is that it be done in a timely manner, that it wouldn't take years to go, you know, if it's appealed by Bord Pleanála, and then, God forbid, it goes to judicial review, that takes even longer and is a lot more costly. And this just slows up and stops everything. And it's not just for residential development, it's also critical infrastructure. We need roads, we need water, we need wastewater, we need rail. We need a lot of infrastructure, particularly in the Donegal Northwest region, which is, you know, has been started of infrastructure for a long time. So we need a planning process that can deliver that in a timely and cost-effective manner. Because, as I say, at the end of the heel of the hump, the people who pay for all these delays and all these costs, unfortunately, are the end user. And it often means that projects never get to construction stage because developers just can't finance it, or they can't get it through the planning system, and it just exasperates the housing crisis.
Justin Malloy, Director of the Western Midlands and Northern Region Construction Industry Federation, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.